Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back in on a Friday, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klugler, Ryan Witkowski producing.
Hello.
A chance to win $1,000 at 9:30. Final opportunity this go around on our show coming up at 9:30. Be listening for that keyword.
I want to address one more thing about Trevor Lawrence, because the text line brought up something from the 913. People are worried he'll be the literal next Andrew Luck. Luck had the injuries. That's ultimately what ended it for Andrew Luck. He was tired of rehabbing from the injuries. Trevor Lawrence hasn't had that yet. But if he does have the injuries and he's made a boatload of cash in 5 or 6 years, like, at that point in time, you have to weigh, is it worth continuing to sacrifice my body that ultimately could lead me to not living a healthy lifestyle when I'm done? Or should I just walk away when I'm healthy now with $25 million?
I think the concern there, at least where that texture is driving to, is that, like, there was a question about how much thought Andrew Luck really put into it, right? Like, how much did he say, boy, I could tough through this, but I really don't love football that much. It doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Like, so I think that, you know, some people questioned whether or not if you were, I don't know, a different athlete. You know, I know that, you know, albeit Brett Favre's name hasn't been in the news for a lot of great things lately. Brett Favre was a guy who never wanted to walk away and didn't want to hang him up. And he was, you know, limping around and doing his thing well after he probably should have been doing it.
And Kevin Durant's looking for any reason to walk away.
So I think that there is this idea that there are some guys that are just more devoted to the craft. It means more to who they are. Like, it makes up the fiber of who I am. If I don't have football, what the hell am I? And I think that those types of guys, the Brett Favre's of the world, they probably should have hung it up maybe a year or two sooner. So, you know, I think that there is some of that there. Like, you know, if you don't have this burning desire, how willing are you to push through some of the things that you may or may not need to push through to have a long career in this league? And I think that it's a fair question. I for one, personally think that you need that type of balance to keep your sanity and to you know, be able to bounce back from the lows, because let's face it, sports has a lot of lows. Like, it deals you way more lows than it does highs often. And so, like, you have to be able to be mentally prepared to bounce back from those things. And I think that people that have a good work-life balance are just more equipped to handle it.
He'll have some things to overcome. Like, if they're a bad team this year, like, if he's playing on a bad NFL team, that'll be an adjustment for him.
Absolutely.
Right?
Will be,
I mean, so there's not saying there's not adversity for him to overcome, but, you know, just because someone, one, might have other interests, and two, the end of the Sports Illustrated story I thought was interesting too, because they had a quote from his high school coach, and it was always tough prying, like, goals out of him. And he was legitimately like, I just want to be better each and every day. But his coach recounts a story before his senior year in high school, brought him in, sat him down and said, goals, Trevor, you must have goals. Name one goal. And this coach King says, quote, he wasn't staring at me in the eye or anything. There was probably a hair flip or a shoulder shrug when he said it. Lawrence casually then told him, coach, I just want to be the best that's ever done it.
That's a goal.
And he's like, And we
What more do you need to hear from
somebody? We never spoke of it again. So it's like, he's like, yeah, I kind of questioned it once. He told me he wanted to be the best that's ever done it. I'm like, okay, cool, go do it. He's just got a different approach to him, too, which I think throws some people off.
Yeah, it's a more matter-of-fact approach, maybe, than we've seen in the past.
Think he wears socks.
Ever. No, he ever.
Like, off
ever,
the football field. I've seen him wear socks on the field. I don't think I've seen him wear socks.
He was sockless at his wedding.
Well, it's a good look, I guess.
Which I commend him for. I wanted a foam party at mine. He wore no socks. I think with him, it's just, when you hear that quote that I want to be the best there ever was, why are we even having this conversation about Trevor Lawrence? Why are we even talking about the drive for a kid who clearly said, I want to be the best ever?
Because Kling nailed it. This is break him down, period.
I guess,
we spend so much time building them up, and then we get 2 weeks out, and it's, all right, let's pick these guys apart. What stupid thing do they say on Twitter when they were 12?
Right.
Or, what mistake did they say in their random team interviews where we ask you things like, would you kill somebody with a knife or a gun? Mm-hmm. Like, those weird questions that they ask. Like,
yeah.
I can't, like, those are, like, we didn't get a scouting combine at the end of this year, so that's going to be upsetting. We didn't really get those stories, but I'm assuming there's some floating out there. Like, this is the time of year that crap starts happening where we go, okay, let's nitpick all the dumb crap we can about these guys to see where we can drop them down in the draft.
Right. But I think you're right. How is he going to handle failure? Because he hasn't experienced
that's
failure.
That's a valid question for a lot of
but that's
players,
for everybody. Yeah. I mean,
if worst case scenario is you get a
the worst case scenario is you wonder how he's going to handle failure. That's a pretty good case scenario.
The worried about, well, will he just walk away?
Yeah. What's it matter to you?
Yeah. Oh, it matters to you because you're investing in a premier position.
To the team it matters, but I'm saying to us.
Like Andrew Luck played less than we thought he did.
Sure.
But if you're the Colts.
My life hasn't changed one bit.
Well, if you're the Colts,
if Patrick Mahomes just decided to walk away next year.
It would not be good.
But the Colts.
Now I get it.
The Colts got a lot out of him.
Yeah.
I didn't ultimately win, but he was a good quarterback, and like there's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there, and
when it came to recovering fumbles.
Let me ask you this though.
The Colts just, they're still playing, the team's still there. Like you can overcome those things and move on, but why work under the guise of, well, I don't know if he's going to play the entire time. He's got other interests.
If the Chiefs do win it again this year, when the Chiefs win it again this year, if they've gone to 3 straight Super Bowls and Patrick Mahomes did walk away,
I just don't have the competitive fire anymore. Yeah. I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. I'm the best. I'm the best there ever was.
IP excellence and all that stuff. I'm out of here.
Continuing this thing.
I honestly, I don't know how I would be. I would like, okay, man, that's on you. That's great. You do you. But then But then I'd look immediately and go.
You modify his whatever an O record. That's for sure.
Number one, I think the way it starts is we wouldn't hear from you for at least 24 hours.
But then I'd look up at the team and go, okay, what are you going to do about this now? Because now it becomes a you issue. I mean, the quarterback decided he was going to leave. How are you going to make this, not better, but how are you going to fix the situation? Who are you going to go out and get now? What's going to be next, for the organization? And I honestly, guys, when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, if you would have told me he would win 2 Super Bowls and gone to 3 straight, I would be like, that's a great career. I'm good with that. You feel fulfilled after something like that. Sure, there would be wanting more and wondering,
Plus,
he's done more than any other quarterback has ever accomplished in Kansas City.
In a way, it'd be great for our industry because then we could debate for the end of time. Well, what if?
What if?
What
yeah,
if he just kept
for us?
What if he just kept playing?
So you look at it from the right point of view.
What if he just kept playing? And how we could have those debates for years and years and years.
There's a thread going on Twitter right now.
I guess I just don't also, I'm not going to begrudge somebody for walking away early. Yes, Barry Sanders left early.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, damn, I wish I could have watched more Barry Sanders. You know what I mean?
The Lions break a lot of people's spirits.
But it wasn't like, how could you, Barry Sanders? It's like, I feel like with Trevor Lawrence, it's almost like, well, how could you have other interests, from the detractors? Right? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but I
just don't operate that way. If someone is going and they leave before they're done, I go, well, good for you.
Yeah.
That's when you decided to walk away. Bad for us because I wish we had more of you playing, but okay, we move on.
The old saying is, in everything, leave them wanting more, which is what we do at 10 o'clock every day. We always leave you guys wanting more so you come back the next day at 6 a.m. It's been pretty good for us. But I think with an athlete, that should be the same thing because the last thing you want to see is like – fat athlete up there trying to get the bat through the strike zone, or, you know, not being able to play at the high level anymore. Like, you know, you see Emmitt Smith with the, you know, Arizona Cardinals, or you see Jerry Rice with the Denver Broncos in Seattle. Like, you just don't want to see those type of things. You don't want to see an athlete that's hung on too long. So it's better to leave somebody wanting more than it is to go out and the last year or two that you watch that guy play, go, oh my God, what is this guy doing out here? Go away. Don't ruin your legacy by doing something like that. But if anybody wants to continue to talk about, you know, having a life outside of their sport, go back and listen to our Joe Maddon interview from the other day. Friend of the show, Joe Maddon, the manager for the Angels. His whole life is outside of baseball, and he's won a world championship with the Cubs.
He says, "I'm, you know, intense competitor in my day,
right?
Well, my day has finite hours, and I'm doing other stuff, but I'm 100% in when baseball's happening.
Right. But when it's not, I'm listening to music, I'm doing paintings, I'm doing my charity stuff, I'm playing golf. I'm
building ships and bottles and
stuff. Yeah, like you have to have that balance. You have to have that ability to do other things, and so you can maintain your focus. And Joe Maddon said, if I'm doing baseball all the time, then I'm not doing my job right. I'm able to do all that other stuff because I take care of business when I need to.
Joe Maddon feels like somebody who's got like a really eccentric hobby too, like, I don't know, making like model dollhouse furniture or something. I carved the chiffero out of balsa wood.
No, it's drinking $2,000 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
He drinks $2,000 bottles of wine while making 19th century chiffero out of balsa wood.
Out of Gatorade cups in the clubhouse.
That sounds good.
While having a beer for breakfast.
This comes from the New York Post. Amazon is taking over the exclusive home of Thursday Night Football in 2023. They're also considering where that goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
One of their is going to be, they're looking at it, customized viewing options, including one that doesn't have any announcers.
Ugh.
An announcerless stream.
That's like watching game film, and that's boring.
To deliver to their consumers, that if they go to Amazon, it actually opens up the door for doing a whole bunch of stuff. Wouldn't be my first preference, although you've a number of times, I think Ryan may have said this too, like, you don't tune into the game for the announcer.
No, but you like that they're there.
But I like that there's a, you know, you like that.
I only tune in for you on the sidelines with the other guys.
I appreciate that. Yeah. But there has to be a center. This wouldn't be for me, but I like the fact that there are options. I've always liked the mega casts that ESPN does. Mm-hmm. You got six stations. Put something up there on each one of them involving this particular game.
Instead of bowling.
You can pick which one you want, or you mm-hmm. can just stay with, most of the time I stay with the regular broadcast. This one wouldn't affect me at all because I don't think I'd go to an announcerless game other than to go, well, that's weird. But I guess if that's for you and you're annoyed by like Tony Romo calling out plays or whatever, you could flip to the announcerless stream and watch that on Amazon in the future.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one that tunes in because so-and-so is broadcasting a game, but I like the fact that the announcers are there broadcasting a game. I mean, it adds to it. Whether you agree with the announcer or don't agree with the announcer, it's fine. It adds to the broadcast. It adds to the experience of watching that game. And if you just flipped on a game that had like natural sound and a couple of mics on the sidelines, I honestly think you would get bored with it really fast. NBC did a game like that back in like the 70s or 80s where they just put it up there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously
Dolphins in 1980.
Is that what it was? Jets and Dolphins. And obviously technology has changed a lot since 1980. Yeah. But still, could you just imagine watching a game with just
technology and stuff?
Maybe some conversation from the sidelines and some natural fan sound or something like that. Like I think you would get bored very fast with that. At least that's my two cents on it. So I don't think that's something that I would like.
The TV and radio broadcasts. Give me that.
Yeah, if you could do something like that, that would be pretty cool.
Match those up. Give me Denny on the call of a Royals game. I'm here for that.
And they've done those on like some of the mega casts. They've essentially or they've had a team centric one.
Right,
you know,
right. Right.
As well, I mean, they did that for a number of years on like the Final Four. Like they'd have a team centric broadcast. Those things are cool. Like if you want it, it's there. And Amazon would have the opportunity to do that because they don't have to put it on a channel. It's just on Amazon.
It's just there.
Like, text her with a great suggestion. They need an R-rated stream where the announcers are allowed to curse.
Yeah, you can get our R-rated podcast later in the day. Yeah, no, I would absolutely
do that.
Yeah, I think I would do that too. That would be fun. Just be natural.
I mean, I'm fine with zero broadcasters. I usually just turn it all the way down and listen to music. I was listening to Willie Nelson last night. Did you know he has new music out? Not even making that up.
I do watch some games with the volume down, but it is difficult. It's a little harder to follow. you got to really be, you know, I can't do it the way you do, Ryan. I mean, I'll have it on the second screen sometimes where we're watching something else and I'll throw a game on the other screen, but you're not fully in it to me. So I would probably not have an announcerless one because it wouldn't work, but I like that the options are there.
I am with the texter on this one. Congratulations, you invented the mute button.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I think for baseball, I watch baseball with music, but that's just the pace of baseball. Like for an NFL game, though.
It would be kind of nice to have a little gnat sound, though. Birds chirping, you know, the slap of the leather and whatnot.
Crack of the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Slap of the leather.
We still need to get to this. 500 is a good thing. And your chance to win $1,000. I'll get you that keyword coming up at 9:30. It's all next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
About 7 minutes away from your chance to win $1,000. Be listening at 9:30. I'll give you that keyword. And then 72881. It's the final chance on our show. National Cash Contest. This edition ends today. So let's get a winner coming up here at 9:30.
I feel like we blew right past that Willie Nelson album. You guys don't care at all.
No, we really don't.
I mean, the man's like 100.
80-something.
I'd have cared at like 9:14. By 9:16, I didn't.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you.
87.
That's how it works. But yeah, of course. Touring or not touring. Willie Nelson touring.
Willie Nelson definitely touring. Him and Snoop Dogg
would be touring.
And Martha Stewart.
So the Royals are now 7-4.
Now that's a good group right there.
But yesterday on the drive, Carrington was discussing 500 or better starts in a 10 games to start the season sample size, which seems like a very small, like, what does that mean? What does 6-4 mean?
What does it mean to you?
Well, according to some numbers they went through, what it means is a really good chance of finishing 500 or better when the season is over.
We looked this stat up because I wanted to know, even in a sport that has the sample size that baseball has, which is the ultimate marathon game, grind it out. You can't really evaluate things on a 1 or 2 game sample. You got to take bits and pieces and chunks of it. So since 2015, there have been 73 teams that were at 500 or above after the first 10 games of the season. 73 teams. 54 of those teams finished at 500 or above. For those of you that struggle with math, we've done the math for you. 74% of teams who start the season at 500 over the first 10 games of the season in the season at 500 or better. I don't know if that stat makes you reevaluate and recalibrate what your win total is for the Kansas City Royals, but it is now not crazy to think that the Royals could win 81 or more games and legitimately compete for a wild card spot.
Carrington Harrison yesterday here on the drive on 610 Sports Radio. It's amazing. When I first saw that thing, I'm like, wow, that's a large number based on 10 games to start a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is such a small sample size. And I know getting off to fast starts is, but I'm like, if you're a 4-6 team or a 6-4 team, yeah, okay, you might get there. You might not.
Right. But it sets a pattern early.
74% of the teams in the last, 6 years?
Yeah.
There were 500 or better after 10 games, finished 500 or better at the end of the season?
That is insane. It's one of the more bizarre, crazy, wonderful kind of stats that I heard. Like, I'm like, wow, that was a wow moment for me. I was
only
driving
10 games of 162, and yeah. I'm thinking that's not a big enough sample size to
but it is.
Get that kind of skewed number.
But it is. It sets kind of the
crazy
groundwork of where you're going and what you're going
does
to
it,
be.
Does know? It change where I'm landing? No.
Oh, change me. I had 162-0.
But you know, should I be thinking 82-80 versus like 80-82 or 79 wins? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they should be chasing 80. And they should. I said before the season, my goal was that even if I'm squinting a little bit to look at the wild card standings and doing funny math and whatever, I want to be in that realm. And I think that this should be a team that's around 500.
Yeah.
Should I have flipped that so they say for sure 500 based on the stat? I guess so, because most of the time it happens.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Like, I heard that yesterday.
It feels like a high percentage to me.
I just had, like, one of those, like, you ever have, like, when you hear something or you see something, you're like, wow, I can't believe that. Like, when Carrington said that yesterday, I'm like, I can't, that's unbelievable. So I, like, texted Ryan this weird text, like, pull this thing from Carrington right now. And Ryan's like, huh? I'm like, I'm driving. Just pull this thing from Carrington. It's the most unbelievable thing I've heard.
It's not like a lock, but 74%.
That's a chance
of being over 500 based on a over 510 game start.
Yeah. That's
okay. Sign me up. Sign me up. I want to be in that category.
Yeah. And look, they're playing right now like they can be in that category of being 500 or above. And Carrington went on to say that they're not playing their best baseball, but yet they're still finding ways to win games, to which my 10-year-old daughter got mad and said he was being very insulting to her baseball team, and she wanted to fight him, but then refused to call into his show. But I think right now, Carrington's right about that, and we've said it, and we heard Whit Merrifield say it yesterday on MLB radio or whatever he was on, where he said, we're not playing our best baseball. And that's a compliment, not an insult, and it's not insulting to say, now they're 6-4, 7-4, but they're not playing their best baseball right now. That's a great thing as a fan to look at the team right now and to say they're still winning games. They're finding ways to grind it out. They're finding ways to hold on. They're finding ways to do the right things at the right time to win baseball games. And yet you still have guys in the middle of the lineup hitting under 200 and they're 7-4 and in first place. It's a great position to be in because you know Santana's going to do better. You hope Soler's going to do better. You think Dozier's probably going to pick it up a little bit. You know, eventually you may get Mondi back at some point during the season. That could help your lineup out, you know, a little bit. And you're starting to see some of these guys start to come on a little bit. Salvi's playing the year of his life right now. We may be seeing his best baseball. Whit Merrifield's
certainly
outstanding. Yeah. I mean, you know, Nicky Lopez has given you everything and more that you could have expected for a guy who needs to fill in at that shortstop position. So there's some good, there's still some areas that need to get better, but at the end of it all, they're still sitting at 7-4, and once they're back and everybody's, you know, kind of doing what they're supposed to do and everybody's living up to the back of their baseball cards, they're going to be a lot better than where they are right now at 7-4. They've got the opportunity with everybody back, everybody healthy, and everybody hitting on all cylinders to be a very good baseball team right now.
It is time to dash for the cash. Your code word, the National Cash Contest is, appropriately enough, baseball, BASEBALL, baseball to 72881. That's 72881. You could be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Your next chance coming up at 10:30 today, the final day this go round of it as well. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates apply. Powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. Baseball to 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. Get ready to hammer the over on the Chiefs next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sportsbook by William Hill is out with its over-unders for a 17-game NFL regular season now. And the Chiefs have opened as odds makers there, over-under of 12 wins.
Yeah, you said that. I'm like, wow, that's a high number.
Bucks at 11.5.
Low.
Chiefs won 14 last year, of course, and the Bucks won 11. They were actually under.
And they get to play one more this year,
Yeah,
too.
That's right. I forgot the 17th game got added.
That's where it comes from.
Oh, that's why these numbers are different.
Baltimore, Green Bay, each open at 11. Bills, Rams at 10.5.
What if you bet before they announced the 17 game and got, like, an over-under of, like, 10 for the Chiefs? Like, are they going to count that bet?
Were those lines out?
They were. They came out immediately after the season. They always do.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if they void those, or I'm not sure how that works.
I think once you make the bet, you make the bet. You know?
But if there's not 16, if that's based on
card
a 16
laid
game
to card
season,
played?
Yeah,
that's how we're doing this.
I don't know.
So okay.
Yeah, that's once you take your finger off the card. Sorry,
that's right. Just like in checkers, once your finger leaves,
that's right. The chip, checker, you're out.
Chiefs at 12, Chargers at 9, Raiders at 8, Broncos 7.5.
That feels generous.
Mm-hmm. Remember, 17 games.
What do you mean, AFC West lover over there?
Yeah.
I figured you'd say all these win totals are too low for the rest of the AFC West.
Give me the rest of the AFC West again. Come
Chargers,
on.
9.
That feels right.
That's Raiders. An 8-8. That's 500.
Raiders at 8.
That feels right.
That feels right.
Broncos
yeah.
at 7.5.
That feels right. So you're talking 6.5, 7, and 8.
That's right.
Yeah.
Raiders will get one
in
of them
days,
against
yeah.
the Chiefs. Chargers will probably get one against the Chiefs, too.
No.
That'll be the end of that $100 bet, right?
No, Chiefs are not losing to anybody in the West this year.
I've got, what, 4 more years to get three wins from the AFC West?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to get 2 this year.
Yeah. 12, I slam dunked that thing. I'm
even
good
in a 16-game season, I'm slamming the over on that.
Yeah, no.
Of course you are.
16-game, I go, 17-game, goes, yeah, sure. Give me,
they
give
won
me,
14 last year and 13 the year prior.
13-4 at worst. To make that bet, I'm good with it.
It just sounds so strange.
I don't feel like they're a 5-loss team. I don't care if 17 games. Like, they're not 12-5. So I'm like, 13-4 and up. Sure, I take that.
If they're a 5-loss team this year, you're going to go, well, something.
Or 6 or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
No, they're not. They're not a 1-loss team. They're a 0-loss team.
I mean,
team.
The Chiefs have like, won double-digit games every year since 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like this
What's
a lot.
The lowest total? 10 during that span?
10, yeah, in 2017. So it was that bum Alex Smith.
That was the outlier right there.
At 4,000 yards that year.
Yeah, that's an outlier, that 10-game season right there.
So yeah. 14, 12, and 12 under Patrick Mahomes, and you get to play one extra one this
14,
year.
12, and 12, that's numbers very low, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
that's
when you
like,
add the extra game in.
And
yeah.
you're averaging 12 wins.
Yeah, with
and
a 16-game schedule, they're giving you another opportunity to do it. That's a very low number, man. That could be done by
Vegas
Thanksgiving.
Knows something, don't they?
No, they don't. Not on this case, they don't. I think they messed up.
I think they're skewing it towards the division getting, at least in their estimation, better. I'm done buying in on that. Like I do think that the teams are better than you give them credit for, Bob. I think Josh probably aptly rates them because he's sensible like that. But like I think the division is improving. Justin Herbert's arrival as the rookie of the year. Like I mean, everybody.
But he's got a new coach now, though.
Who cares?
I think it's a huge deal. I think it's a big deal having a new coach, new
offensive
scheme, new coordinator.
If anything, you can make it that he might have a better coach.
I don't. He's a defensive guy. I don't know anything about that
guy. Well, I mean, the coach that he had last year got fired. So
I know. He did. You're right.
And I like Anthony Lynn.
I do, too. And I don't know why I was rooting for Anthony Lynn. Like, I have no – I'm not a Texas Tech guy or anything. I'm like, I just genuinely liked Anthony Lynn. I'm like, I want to see that guy have success, you know?
Seems like a nice guy.
It's probably the Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks helped, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's a good dude.
Him during quarantine, cooking with his wife and things like that. I'm like, I like that guy.
Got, like, some family recipes he keeps in, like, a box with, like, little index cards. That's the kind of guy I like, Anthony Lynn.
I think, you know, Justin Herbert starting the way that he did, like all of a sudden somebody got a needle in their ribs the wrong way and he had to start, like there was no time to think about it.
And then the ribs, it was in the lung.
Yeah. Like, so he had no time to think about that start, right? He just thrown in there and he just got to go. And I think that was probably the best thing to happen because you couldn't overthink anything and he just kind of went from there. But new coach last year, new coach this year, you know, now you're going to have a full kind of real season ahead of you with crowds and fans and all that kind of stuff. We'll see how he handles all of that stuff. I still think having that new coach and 2 years into the league and already having two coaches and two coordinators, I think that's a difficult spot. Denver right now, I have no idea what they're doing. And then, of course, you've got the Raiders who are going to Raider everything and blame a bus driver.
I don't really know what you're talking about. You must not have watched the games last year. We're talking about two teams in the Chargers and Raiders who handed you two losses.
Did you miss who the Chiefs played against the Chargers?
And played you in, even with the Chiefs playing full tilt against Justin Herbert. They played well.
He did. That's what I'm saying. It was the best thing to happen for him. He was just thrown out there.
That's my point, is that you're talking about teams in the West that handed you two losses and played you to the wire in the other two losses. Mm-hmm. Or in the other two games.
The other two games.
And then you've got the Denver Broncos who are going to poop the bed on national television. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But
are they playing the Chiefs on national TV this year?
I guess maybe local television.
Yeah. Does Denver get a national TV game? They get the Thursday night game,
yeah,
obviously.
They'll get a Thursday.
Yeah, against the Chiefs.
Against the Chiefs.
There's a chance that they'll get one in Denver, maybe. Lewis Riddick of ESPN.
How far they have fallen, though? Isn't it insane? 5 years ago, we were talking about Denver like being the class of the AFC.
Shows you need a quarterback.
Lewis Riddick, who will be the team that challenges the Chiefs in 2021?
I think it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts that are going to provide the greatest challenge to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC because they have a lot of things going for them right now as far as culture in Indianapolis, as far as personnel in Indianapolis. Now the question is whether or not Frank Reich and one person in particular, that being Carson Wentz, could go ahead and be the cherry on top of this great program that they're putting together there. Because if he can get himself right mentally, they do provide him with the kind of structure and support, but not enable him to try and circumvent the normal processes by which a quarterback should go through in terms of being a leader in an organization. But if they can get him on the right track, this team is very dangerous because they have a great team building philosophy there, and they already have a great locker room with a lot of real good players, and I think they're set up for the long haul.
It's if you believe in Carson Wentz. That's a big question with the Colts to me. Like if you believe Carson Wentz can lead.
Josh, I was more of a believer in Philip Rivers than I am with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I know. It's going to take some probably getting used to in that regard too for some people with the Colts. They do have a lot going for them. Is the quarterback the right pick?
I don't know.
That'll be the question.
He's injured all the time, and there's questions on whether or not he's capable of being a leader right now in the NFL. But I think being back with Frank Reich is going to help him. And isn't there another assistant that they have on that staff that he was really close to in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I can't recall the name.
It's a weird football name, like Skip or something like that.
Sure, we'll go with that.
You know, there's some guy like Mouse Davis, or I think it is, maybe. I don't remember what it is.
Oh, he's reuniting with Mouse Davis?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, who ran the run and shoot down in
trusted
Houston?
Trusted confidant.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Skip Prosser or something. Whoever it was. There was a guy, some name of a guy. Like if you say
football,
like, okay,
Mick, football face?
Yeah, that's who it is. Cool. Yeah, so he's reuniting with that guy that's on the staff there. And so they think it can be better. I don't know that Carson Wentz is a leader, and I think he got to be kind of a little bit of a leader.
I do just like that everyone of these conversations is not discounting that the Chiefs are going to be there. It's just who's riding with them. I'd love to be in that position. This is a great spot to be in. That it's not, well, who's going to overtake and who's riding in the same car as the Chiefs,
right?
And you can even debate
Press
if that's fair.
Taylor.
That's it. Press
that's
it. Taylor.
Press Taylor.
Told you some weird football name
that it's not. People aren't tripping over themselves to say who's going to overtake the Chiefs because, you know, oh my gosh, the Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl and look how vulnerable they won. The blueprint is out and blah, 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 blah. It's, oh no, the Chiefs are going to be good. Who's with them?
Right.
And I'm glad people are realizing that.
I'm glad that's the category, because that should be the category.
Because instead of sitting here and trying to talk about who's going to defeat the Chiefs and whatnot, they just, at this point of the season, we're just like, they're going to be there. They are the best team in the AFC. Who has an opportunity to challenge, to maybe give them a little bit of a run for their money? I do like what Indianapolis is doing. I mean, we've talked about that over time. But you know what Indianapolis has to start doing now, Josh? Winning when it matters and winning in the postseason. And they haven't quite yet done that yet. And so if we want to put them into that category of Buffalo beat them in the postseason. You want to put them in the category, dare I even say it, Cleveland, because they won a postseason game last year. If Indianapolis wants to be in that category, they have to start finding ways to win a game or two in January.
So Chiefs at 12 for their over-under. Ravens at 11. 10.5 for the Bills. The other double digits are the Colts at 10 and the Browns at 10 as well.
That's an under.
You're all over the
6-11.
The regress.
How many years would it take for you to switch your perception on
them? How long is it going to take anybody to switch their perception on the Browns? I think it's a good decade plus.
Like, and I'm being serious. I'm with you on it, because like I think
now
especially
if they do have like a run like the Chiefs have had, where they get the two Super Bowls and win one, okay, then you can change your perception. But right now, 1 year does not make a team.
That's going to be what it takes for you to do two Super Bowls in 3 years.
What about just a perennial playoff team?
If they are, like how many years do you have to be a perennial?
I don't know. What if they make it this year again? Are they on the road to?
You can say they're on the road, but I mean, it's still hard to shake. You're the Browns.
Well, that's fine. Up until Patrick Mahomes got here, we were the Chiefs.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. Like, no, you're right.
You never won anything in the postseason. We're strutting around with our chest puffed out, judging the Browns.
But the Browns had a game in the postseason that they won, okay?
Lucky Super Bowls do the Browns have in there?
Zero. They've never even been to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
Bro. The Browns are like one of the teams, like with the Lions and the Texans and the Jags, that have never been to the Super Bowl.
They have appearances, though, right?
No.
I thought they've been to a Super Bowl.
No. They were in NFL championship games in the 50s.
I just feel bad for the Browns like I do the Lions.
The Browns, the Lions, the Texans, and the Jags are the only four teams in the NFL to never appear in the Super Bowl.
Oh, see this one, because they went to NFL championships.
That's what I just said. Yeah, NFL. It's not a Super Bowl.
I was over here like looking this up while you're telling me this.
No, they've never been to a Super Bowl. So they have no real postseason success or history in the modern era of the NFL. What's it going to take to change my perception? A good decade of consistent winning.
They've also never been in your kitchen.
That's right.
One of the great ranters in our industry is one Chris Russo of Mad Dog Sports Radio. He of the, remember the Green Bay Packers trivia that we've used every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wild, because if you ever like meet Chris Russo, he's not like over the top crazy.
MLB, nice MLB Network as well. He wasn't happy this week with the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Because seemingly they don't ever play all their guys in a game.
Right, ever.
Durant's been out. Kyrie Irving's been out. The Beard's been out.
Mm-hmm.
And they played the Sixers.
Sure. Right?
And that was supposed to be a matchup for the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And they didn't play everybody in that game. Mm-hmm. Russo's ultimately not happy with today's current athletes, and it's fantastic.
There, many a night, in many a locker room, when Ewing had a freaking ice his knees, talk to the media, every game, sit in front of that locker room, every game, sat there with his ice on his knees, and he played night after night after night after night, played his ass off. Night after night. You think, I tell you something right now, Ewing wanted to play. How about Krause telling Jordan somewhere in the 98 season, when Pippen decided to take a pass with that late surgery, as we all saw there in the documentary, how about Krause telling Mike, you know, Mike, we're in Sacramento tonight. You know, you played last night. You know, let's take a blow. You know what Jordan would do? You know what Jordan would do? My God almighty! You couldn't rip that uniform off him! That's basketball! That's what he would do! He'd freaking play! How about Paul Silas? How about Havlicek? How about Havlicek?
How about him? Paul Silas?
8 miles every game. Havel played from 1963 to 1979. 16 freaking years. Every single game. You think Havlicek's taking a night off?
No.
No.
Havlicek. Twice the player that any of these guys are.
Havlicek, huh?
Oh. You go get him.
Nicely done.
Go get him, Russo.
But I get it. Like Kevin Durant, just, I mean, every day it's something with him. Every day fighting with, who did he get into a Twitter battle with?
Rappaport. Yeah. Michael Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport.
No, not Ian.
Michael Rappaport.
Michael. Yeah.
You know what, Jordan Vadeau? Fucking play.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Durant, as a fan, if you're a fan of the team that he's on, he just pushes the envelope constantly as far and far and far. And you're just like, all right, and the get Nets, out there and play.
You couldn't rip that uniform off him.
And I get it. The Nets, I mean, they put together, you know, three really good players, right, which you do to win a title.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't seen them on the court altogether much of the year. And there doesn't seem to be much concern there. Like, they're strictly playing for the playoffs.
But are they? Like, because Durant said that stuff doesn't matter.
We're going to be healthy. Well, I'm saying from a team perspective, they're going to be healthy for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And all this other stuff, it does water down the regular season, too. Like,
and it's a shortened regular season anyway.
Yeah, some of the things you've been saying, like, regular seasons stink. Well, the Nets are just showing that to you, like, right in front of your face.
Right.
Like, we're just playing for the playoffs. We're just going to have everybody ready for the playoffs.
Right. That's why I have no problem adding more playoff teams in every sport because everybody turns it up.
It is different. It is different right now. They don't seemingly care about that number one seed.
No.
They're playing for, you know, whatever. Just get us in. We'll play anybody anywhere when that happens.
You know what, Jordan Vadeau?
The only sport that has it right with the regular season is the NFL. Every other sport needs to shorten the regular season and expand the postseason because when you do get to the postseason, games are played at a different level. They're higher intensity games. You see it in baseball. You see it in basketball. You see it in hockey. Hell, you see it in football. I mean, it's a different level when you get to that postseason. So why are we meandering around through 82 NBA games and 162 baseball games? Condense that crap, man. Get rid of some of that nonsense.
It doesn't make sense either when you consider half the league makes the playoffs. Like, it's just, it's maddening. Like, why do we need that many?
Yeah, exactly.
How about Havlicek?
How about Havlicek? And so I kind of like what the NBA is doing with, like, the play-in at the end of the postseason. The top six teams are in, 7, 8, 9, and 10, all have, like, a play-in tournament to get in to the postseason. And I kind of like that, too. Expand ways, do it differently. I think if you expand the postseason and shorten the regular season, you're going to get better quality of play in every sport across the board.
Every single game!
That's so good. Ewing iced his knees. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It is time.
Every single game!
It is time for What We Learned, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. And normally, it's What We Learned with Fesco's biggest fan, one Billy Coons. Billy's been having some technical issues.
He has been having. He's also got hacked on Twitter, too. So
they're
if you were following him on Twitter, you might need to change it up. At Billy Coons 1.
Right,
now.
The number one.
He's got some phone. There's some phone technical issues. In filing,
I think he's got it ironed out.
Filing his report.
He's got it ironed out.
Supposedly.
He has insurance on his
phone.
We
did not have time to wait.
No.
The show must go on.
That's right.
So our other super fan.
What We Learned with Tammy from the Westin. Brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow.
Good morning, Fesco, Ryan, and Josh lovers. This is Tammy from the Westin, filling in for Billy Coons, and this is what we learned this week on Fesco in the Morning. We learned that legend Bob can't tolerate the bullpen blowing leads, especially Jesse Hahn, and blowing two saves already this season. The team has been partying in the locker room with a fog machine and lights after all the winning games and presenting a championship belt to the player of the game. Ryan created a new word for the Webster Dictionary, spoiled. UFC fighter Julian Marquez has challenged Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey to a badminton or pickleball competition, and the Chiefs players are up for the challenge. Kansas State Athletics announced that Darren Sproles will get his own bobblehead. Salvi hits 1,000 and the 13th Royal to reach this milestone, along with a signing lifetime contract with the Royals and one of the biggest contracts in Royals history. Julian Edelman announced his retirement from the Patriots, and legend Bob predicts he will be at the Bucs camp by this summer. Legend Bob is petitioning to have Midnight Madness practice at St. Joe this summer and call it Late Night at the Joe. Ryan let the world know the only way to eat a breakfast sandwich is with grape jelly. Amen, Ryan. Who didn't know that? We learned if you play for the NFL, don't expect a gift from legend Bob. We learned that Derek Carr was trolling a Chiefs fan at church, telling them they can sit in the back row. The NFL Players Association are discussing opting out of voluntary offseason workouts, and multiple teams have opted to sit out due to COVID concerns. the Chiefs would save $3 million not paying players to come in and work out. We learned A-Rod is the new owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we also learned that A-Rod and J-Lo are splitting again, but will remain friends and business partners. Yeah. It's been another great week listening to Legend Bob, Josh, and Brother Ryan. Be the first caller and name the lobby restaurant at the Westin Crown Center and win a complimentary night stay.
Whoa, oh, Tammy!
Talk to you later.
Wow.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that for real right now? That the first caller? It.
That's what Tammy said. We knew anything Tammy says.
913-576-7610. If you know One East is the restaurant in the Westin.
What the hell are you supposed to? You're supposed to know it with that.
Supposed to
just
let
gonna
that.
Go ahead and hang up on that person.
Wow. That's I don't awesome. Know, Billy. You better get back.
Tammy's giving away free night stays.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Coon's giving away anything at the Lowe's?
And clearly, she's listened to the show, so there
she
you give go.
Away some of those Cowboys trash cans.
I don't know. It's what we learned. Brought to you by Jason.
I need a new weed whacker. My wife used the weed whacker yesterday. I broke the. How did you break the weed whacker?
Every single game.
That's pretty easy, actually, to break a weed eater.
The whole thing?
That line feed thing where you got to like tap it to like make the line.
She has never used a weed whacker until yesterday. Instead of asking, like, how do you use this?
She should have read a manual or something.
She had the line about 6 feet out.
That's
too.
Not how you
that'll,
use the
that'll
weed
hurt.
Whacker.
Yes. That'll,
it's whacking your legs at that point.
That'll take out your shins.
It's a leg whacker.
That's not a smart idea either.
Usually I like whacking.
Your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 10:30. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold, come your way next on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
Yeah.
I gotta go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, Jinx.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you later.